This morning's sermon is called The Gift of Peace from John chapter 14, verses 25 through 31, as we continue our journey through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Again, this passage took place on Thursday evening at the Lord's Supper, the day before Jesus went to the cross. Chapters 13 through 17 are in the upper room at the Lord's Supper. John had lots of things to say. He recorded that. It was just in several hours, those chapters. John recorded more than any other gospel writer what happened on the Lord's Supper that evening in the upper room. He wrote more about that night than the other gospel writers. Jesus had been telling his disciples that he will soon be leaving them and going back to the Father in heaven where he came from. But they were very troubled by this, as we can see as we go through the Word of God. So Jesus continued to pour out his love for them and comfort them by his words. And he continued to lay out many promises over these chapters to his disciples and all those in Christ Jesus. He told them, we read last week, that in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The promise Jesus told them, your name is written in heaven, just waiting for you. Just waiting for you. An amazing promise from the Lord to all believers in Christ Jesus. He told them, you know the way to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, nobody comes to the Father except through me. He told them, whatever you ask in my Father's name that aligns with the will of my Father, that the Father may be glorified, he said, I will do it if it aligns with my Father's will and that I may be glorified in the Father and the Father in me. Right? He told them, he said, we read last week, he said, he who loves me and obeys me, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, the Holy Spirit, that he may remain in you forever. Forever, right? He says, the Spirit of truth, Jesus said. He told them, he who loves me and obeys me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will show myself to him. He told them, he who loves me and obeys me, my Father will love him, and we, the triune God, will come and make our home with you. Incredible promises to us believers in Christ. And Jesus laid out promises after promises to them and to us, believers in Christ. Jesus told them, we read last week, he says, because I live, you live. You will live also spiritually. Because I live, you live. I've given you life in me, right? Jesus is the giver of life, amen? He's the giver of life spiritually. Our soul never dies. It'll go on to live for eternity in one or two places, right? I've told you that, right? Heaven or hell, depending on your relationship with Jesus Christ. He will either be your Savior or he will be your judge. It's one or the other. He is the giver of life. And now in this morning's passage, Jesus promises them and to all those who are in Christ the gift of peace in the believer, right? Jesus continued to talk about also, he continues to talk about the Helper, the Holy Spirit. So if you brought your Bible with you, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Let's go through the Word of God. Let's take a look at verses 25 and 26. Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, telling the disciples. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, listen, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. I love those two verses. The Holy Spirit that I send, my Father's going to send in my name. He's going to help you. He's going to teach you all things. All things. These things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. When do we receive the Holy Spirit? At salvation, right? When did they receive the Holy Spirit? At salvation. Same thing, right? Same way, right? Salvation, you receive it at salvation. The Holy Spirit you receive at salvation, right? And the rest of your life is the release of Him in your life, right? When the Holy Spirit comes to live within you, He comes in the fullness of God, okay? He comes in the fullness of God. There's no portion of the Holy Spirit, okay? It's not for the spiritual elite. The fullness of God comes to live within the believer, right? You get the same. Listen, you and I, we get the same Holy Spirit as the disciples got, that Jesus walked the earth with. You get and I get. Incredible. The same Holy Spirit that was in Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Daniel, David, and so on, is the same Holy Spirit in you. It's not different. The same Holy Spirit that Elijah did miracles, right? Enoch, same Holy Spirit in you. Same Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit isn't a reward, okay, for being spiritual. It's your only hope of being spiritual, okay? You need to know that. It's not a reward for being spiritual. It is the only hope you have of being spiritual, is the Holy Spirit, the work in the believer. Many believers think that when they make a Holy Spirit, the Spirit leaves. No. Ephesians 4:30, right? It says, when you make a mistake, the Holy Spirit does not leave you, it grieves. It grieves over your sin. It doesn't leave you, right? He abides. He remains, and He helps you to get it right. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit inside the believer. Right? He doesn't leave you. He's not going to leave you. I'll never leave you or forsake you, right? God's word. Right? What sense would it make for God to remove from you your only chance of being holy as a punishment for not being holy and removing the Holy Spirit from you, right? So what would we do? We're going to live like saved one day, not saved, saved, not saved, saved. No. No, no, no. God would never want His children to live like that. Never, ever, ever. The Holy Spirit, as we've been reading, He abides and He remains in you forever. Until your last breath here on earth, He remains in you. Now, when you do things that the Lord does not like, and it's not His will, and you may sin, right, here and there, the Holy Spirit is never going to leave you. But the Scripture says He does grieve inside of you when you sin, right? I've told you guys before, just because you're saved doesn't mean you're never going to sin, right? Saved doesn't mean perfect. You need to understand that. Don't put that burden on yourself. Saved does not mean perfect. It means you're progressing. You're becoming more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. Who helps us do that? The Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that continues to do that in the believer. Right? That's why, what is He called? The Holy Spirit. He's called the Helper. He helps us to get it right. That's the ministry. That's His ministry in the believer, right? And he who has begun a good work in you, He's going to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's told us in the Scripture, right? You know what Jesus is telling us in that? Philippians 1:6. He's saying, I want you to know that the work that I have begun in you, oh, I'm going to complete it. I'm going to complete it in you, the Holy Spirit. He, the Holy Spirit, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. What a promise, right? Let's take a look at verses 27 and 28. That's an amazing promise right here from the Lord. Look what he says. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you." We see that, right? "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me," Jesus said, "you would rejoice because I said, I am going back to the Father. For my Father is greater than I." Jesus is telling his disciples and telling us here in this Word of God, he is saying, listen, I have taken care of everything for you. Don't worry. Trust me. I hope you feel that way as a believer in Christ. God is telling you, listen, I have taken care of everything for you. You just need to trust in me. That's it. I hope you're standing on that promise as a believer in Christ. Right? I've told people many times, if we would just trust God more, we would worry less. We would worry less. We really would. If we would just pray more, we would worry less. No doubt about it. God says, you focus on me more than the things in the world, and I will take care of it. Right? But if you focus on all your problems every day, that's what you're going to be focused on. He says, if you focused on me, I'm going to take care of it for you. That's his will for his children. That's his will for you and me. Right? When a person becomes saved, right, God gives us his peace inside our heart. Peace. Every day, everywhere you go, 24/7, you can rest in his peace, right? Supernatural peace, right? True rest, right? Peace is God's promise to his children. That's his promise to you and I, is his peace that he gives us. He promises that. I'm going to give you my peace. Right? Paul wrote in Colossians 3:15, he said, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the peace of God just rule in your heart. Right? Jesus gives true peace and true rest in him. Jesus is saying here also, he says, let not your heart be troubled. I don't want you to be troubled over this. Whatever it is you're going through, he says, do not be afraid. I'm with you. I'm going to see it through. But you got to trust me. You know, it's usually when we don't trust God when things just go south, right? When we're just really not trusting in Christ. I don't know why this is happening to me, Lord, you know, but I'm going to trust in you. And then we see it through. I'm going to say, if you live in fear and anxiety, and I know they're real. We deal with this in this broken world, fear, anxiety, depression. I get it. It's real. We all deal with it here and there. But if you are constantly living in fear and anxiety and depression, you're not trusting God for your life. Period. If you live in fear every day or depression every day, you are not trusting in Christ. That's the bottom line. Right? What did Timothy, right? What did Paul write to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7? He said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Right? Notice God has not given us a spirit of those things, right? The spirit of fear and anxiety comes from the world and the devil. That's where all that stuff comes from. Comes from the world, comes from, not from God. He said, I haven't given you a spirit of fear. I've given you a spirit of depression. That's not from me. That's of the world. And only me, Only I, says the Lord, is going to get you through that. Right? If you are living constantly in fear and anxiety, constantly, listen, constantly worried. Every day. Worried. Or constantly stressed out. Or constantly complaining. You're not trusting in Christ Jesus. I'm talking constantly. Like I said, I know we're going to deal with these things here and there, right? We're in the flesh. But constantly? No. You're not trusting in Jesus Christ with your life. If you're like that daily. Daily. Listen, I want you to, you got your Bible with you today. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. I know you know this passage well, but this is a great reminder for us as well. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. And I know you know this, and this is, read this scripture often, especially for those of you who are struggling with these infirmities of anxiety or stress or depression. Go to this Word of God often. Philippians chapter 4. Okay, Philippians chapter 4. Go down to verse 4. I'm going to read 4 through 7. Paul writes to the Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord." I like that. "Always." I like that too. Again, he says, "I will say rejoice." Twice. "Rejoice in the Lord." Look at verse 5. "Let your gentleness be known to all men." Be gentle, be loving, right? And he says, "For the Lord is at hand." Be gentle, be loving, be kind, be gracious, be merciful. The Lord is at hand, Paul is saying. Look at verse 6. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, be thankful. Let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Amen. What a passage. 3 verses that can do so much for your soul. I would go to that passage often, especially living in this world. Right, Paul was a man of peace. Why was Paul such a man? I mean, this man was brutally beaten and everything, Paul. I mean, he'd been through it all. But he was a man of peace. Why was he such a man of peace? Because he trusted in God. He trusted in God. He'd get beat 40 times. "I'm going to trust in God." "You're put in prison." "I'm going to trust in God." He was a man of peace. He experienced true peace, which requires saving faith. Saving faith will bring peace to the believer. God's peace, right? What does it say? Ruling in your heart, right? Filling your heart with God's peace. This is God's promise to you. This is God's promise to you. I want my peace to rule in your heart. This is the Lord is saying, that's my will for your life, that you would have peace in your heart. Peace is the soul at rest. At rest. Amazing. The Apostle Paul, he writes so much about peace. I want to share some of these verses with you. He wrote to the Romans. He said, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, saved, we have peace with God through our Lord, Jesus Christ." He says, since coming to Christ, you've been justified, right? Just as if you never sinned in the sight of God, right? With God, he says, that should bring you so much peace that you've been justified by God. He wrote to the Colossians, he says, "By him, Jesus reconciled all things to himself, by him, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." Colossians 1:20. Saved by the blood of Christ should bring you more peace than you ever need. Paul referred to the gospel as the gospel of peace. He wrote that in Ephesians 6:15. He said, it's the gospel of peace. You've been justified by God. Now live in peace. Right? Supernatural peace, divine peace that God gives to us, right? It's positive, it's permanent, it's true peace in the heart. He wrote to the Thessalonians, and he said, now may the Lord of peace, he writes a lot about peace. He wants us to have peace in the heart. He said, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace. Brings up peace twice. He said, and then he says, always, and he says, every day. Now, I know it's hard to live every day in peace in this world and these things that go on. I understand that. But Paul's saying, God wants you to live in peace. He wants you to live in peace, right? I'm not sure if you guys notice as you're going through the scriptures, but every one of Paul's letters that he wrote, which are 13, actually 14 out in Hebrews, because I do believe he's the writer of Hebrews, sounds like him, okay? He always starts out with his letters. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed that? He always writes that. Every letter, when you go home later, you read it. His epistles, he always writes, grace and peace. Why does he always start out grace before peace? Because without God's grace first, there is no peace. Amen? I do believe that's why he writes this. Grace to you and peace. Grace to you and peace. Grace to you. He wants us to know, listen, without God's grace, you're never going to have peace. Grace must come first before peace. He writes it in all his epistles. It's amazing. Back to our passage, notice Jesus said, Jesus wants us to know, my peace that I give you is not the same peace that is in the world. He wants you to know. He says, not as the world gives do I give to you. Jesus is saying, you're not going to have peace in the world. Just put your news on. Just put the news on, right? You see what's going on every day? That doesn't bring peace, right? Not at all, right? Michelle and I, we put the news on to maybe find out what's going on, whatever. We got to shut it off like 5 minutes later. Right? We can't even watch the news anymore. Most of it's lies. Nobody's telling the truth. You can't even watch it without getting upset. You used to be able to rely on good, honest reporting. Not anymore. One side against the other. Jesus said, that's not going to bring you peace. Like my peace will be to you. Right? In the world, there is no true peace and true rest, right? Peace in the world is not the same as Jesus' peace, right? True peace can only come through Jesus Christ. That's the only way you're going to ever find peace in your life is through him. It's through him. And without God's grace, there is absolutely no peace. You know, people have tried to find peace in this world, but they cannot. They cannot find peace in this world and never going to be able to. Only Jesus brings true peace to the believer. Let's look at our final verses, verse 29 through 31. Jesus continued with, he said, and now I have told you, before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, talking to his disciples, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me a commandment, so I do. Arise, let's go from here. Jesus tells him, let me just break this down for you. Jesus tells him, I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does take place, you may believe and have faith in me. He's telling them. I will not speak with you much longer, For the ruler of this world, Satan, is coming. And he has no claim on me, no power over me, nor anything that he can use against me. But so that the world may know, without a doubt, Jesus is saying, so that the world may know, without a doubt, that I love the Father. And I do exactly as the Father has commanded me to do. An act of full agreement with the Father. This is what Jesus is telling us, right? This is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in perfect harmony together, right? Working out their will for their plan, their purpose, their end goal, and listen, for their glory, okay? It's perfect. Amen? All right, let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking into our heart this morning as we gathered in Jesus' name. We thank you for your word. We ask you, Lord, that you continue to speak to us every day. Every day we pick up your word, our Bible, as we go through it. We ask you, Lord, that you open up our hearts and our minds to your word and that you continue to teach us all things, just as you have said, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.